Well, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 6. Going to be looking at verses 5 through 13 in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 5 through 13 in Matthew chapter 6. And what I want to talk to you today about is prayer and how to plug into the power of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Listen to what God's Word says. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have in need before you even ask of him. So in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Forever, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, God, to share this message about prayer, Lord. God, as we open our hearts to understand, Lord, how you would set the example for us to pray, God. Lord, as we take into consideration all the needs of the world today, all the needs in the church, all the needs all over, Lord. God, help us to remember how important prayer is. Lord, I pray, God, that as we're sharing this prayer with you right now, Lord, that you would open people's minds and their hearts to a new world of prayer, God. That they would be able to hear this message today, Lord, and it would change their life and their relationship with you forever. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to talk to prayer, about prayer today. Prayer is one of the most important parts of a Christian's life, but it's one of the things we do the very least. It's so important, I can't even stress enough, but we do it the very least. You hear people say, I'll pray for you. We hear that often, don't we? Or, will you pray for me? We have prayer lists. If you look in your bulletin, you can see the prayer list. And it considerably grows and grows and grows every week, right? We also have a prayer request GroupMe deal that we use on our texts on our phone so we can send back and forth prayer requests and things to people to get them out more urgently. We also even have a prayer service at 5:30 on Tuesdays. So I think you understand how important prayer is, but do you really know how prayer can change your life? I mean, if you could pray like anybody else in the world, who would you want to be able to pray like today? Would you want to be able to pray like your mom? Would you want to be able to pray like your dad, your preacher? Who do you want to pray like? If you were to ask me, I would want to pray more like Jesus. And so we're going to look a little bit about his prayer today to understand that. Speaking of prayer, can you remember the first time? What is your first memory of praying? Connie, what's your first memory of praying? What do you think? What's the first time you remember praying?
Probably when I was little.
Yeah, when you were little. And so for many people, when they were a toddler, that's kind of when they started praying. Whether it was their mom or dad or grandparents that kind of got them started, they may have prayed alongside them. Maybe when you were a teenager and you were going through some tough troubles and you didn't really know where to turn to. You went to some friends, you went to some parents, you went to other people, but you were just stuck in this rut and you didn't know what to do. And so you went to the Lord in prayer for the first time. Maybe you were an adult. Perhaps you'd been in church all your life and you said many, many prayers. But your heart was never open until you got down to the altars and you prayed that first prayer of salvation. Prayer is so important. It's a wonderful privilege that's enjoyed by God's children. Would you know that prayer can change your entire life? Do you agree with that? I hope you will by the time we're done today. Prayer can change your entire life. Through prayer, we receive mercy and grace and a help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that. I remember saying a prayer, boy, that I was in so much trouble. And I got down on my knees, and what happened was, I think I'd shared this with you before, but I was in this circumstance, Tegan, where there were some officers knocking at my door. You ever had that problem? Isn't that a miserable thing? You know, and they don't come in like normal during the day. They come in the morning or at night. Well, these guys happen to come at 4 or 5 in the morning, and they're... my dad was living with us, you know, so I didn't expect that it was for me. And I have my wife, she went to go answer the door because I was like, anybody knocking at the door at 4 in the morning, they can wait until I get up at 6. I'm not going in the morning at 4 o'clock. They have my phone number if they need it. But sure enough, there were some police officers there. And after a couple conversations, they were there to arrest me because I hadn't paid registration on some car that I sold 5 years ago. So who knows what that whole situation was about. But nevertheless, if I didn't have $600 and some odd, they were going to take me to jail. And I went through all kinds of different things. I thought, one, I could take those guys. They're both turning around with their face on their car. There's no way they can both handle me. That was a bad idea, obviously, so I rejected that plan. The second idea was come up with $600, but that was a bad idea, too, because I didn't have it. So all I had could take out of an ATM was $300. So I did what every good man would do. I told my wife to call her mother. And she told me, no, this is your problem. You need to call my mom. I said, man, I got more important business to do. Please, Lord, I don't want to go to jail. I don't know what it's like in there, Lord. I heard about dropping soap and stuff, and I don't want to be a part of that. And God answered my prayer, and Deborah brought back the money, and we were able to get out of that terrible situation. But I'll tell you that God can give you mercy and grace through prayer. Through prayer, also, you can find peace. We were talking a little bit about peace in Bible study this morning. Peace is something that's more worth more than any amount of money, any materialistic good you could ever have. Having peace and knowing that things are going to be okay. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells it like this, says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, prayer is important. If we fail in Christianity, it's at one place usually, and that's prayer. We have a way to communicate with the God who created us, the one who loves us so much he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross, and all he wants to do is have a little conversation with us once in a while. Prayer is what we need to improve. Prayer can lift people up and encourage people. Have you ever been a part of a situation where somebody was just down and miserable, feelings were hurt, they were going through a rough time, and you just said, can I pray with you? And you prayed for them and they felt a lot better. That wasn't anything special you did. That's what God can do through the power of prayer. Prayer can help you get through difficult times. It can be an instrument that God uses to heal you and draw you near to Christ. Prayer is the most powerful form of communication we have in the world, but yet we don't use it. So if you have ever prayed before, if you want to know how to pray, then this is the sermon for you. Because I'm going to teach you how to pray effectively today. How to pray so that God hears your prayers. So that God will answer your prayers. And God will listen to you. Because that's what God wants to do. So let's look at Matthew verses 5 and 6 right now. See what God tells us about prayer. He says, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. So in these verses, Jesus tells us about two different kinds of prayer. He tells us about this self-righteous kind of showcase prayer first. This is the prayer that the religious leaders back in the time, sure, they wore different outfits and things like that, but they wanted to be known that they were religious. So they'd go stand out on the street corners and stuff, and they'd be like, oh, Father God, the mighty and powerful. And then they'd look around like, is anybody paying attention to me? Okay, good. It's amazing how you have blessed me and everything that my hands have touched. Oh, do I got a bigger crowd yet? Father God, thank you. I mean, so what are they doing? This self-righteous prayer, that's all about directed attention to you. Now, most people don't want a bunch of attention directed to them. But these religious leaders, they were praying these self-righteous prayers. It wasn't about them giving glory or honor to God. All they wanted to do is give glory and honor to themselves. They wanted to make them look special. Oh, no, I'm a special person, so give me the special outfit. Let me go and scream in front of everybody that I love Jesus. It wasn't about their relationship with Christ. It wasn't how they loved Christ. What it was directing attention to them. And so Jesus says, don't pray like these guys. That's not how I want you to pray. God should be the focus, not us. And so I'm not saying that public prayer is discouraged. Jesus prayed in public. I'm saying that anytime you pray, if Jesus is not what you're praying to or the center of your prayer or the focus, then you've got it all wrong. The second kind of prayer he talks about is a relationship prayer, a relational prayer. This is the kind of prayer that seeks time with your Father in heaven. Listen again to what his word says. It says, "But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you in publicly." And so private prayer, that enables believers to really connect to God. That enables you to be able to hear what God is trying to tell you. That enables you to be able to open doors and shut doors. God can work in those things. It'll help strengthen your spirit and your character. It'll bring a deeper sense of faith and personal care. You see, and those are the things that we want. Is we want that kind of prayer that's going to open our hearts, that's going to lead us, that's going to guide us, that's going to protect us. But most often, we don't want to give God the time to do that, do we? We just want to say our prayers to go through that little ritual, right? And that kind of brings us up to my next verse, verses 7 and 8. Jesus kind of instructs us. He gives us a little admonition. He's like, hey, if you're going to pray, you need to pay attention to these facts. It says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask of him." Now, I don't know about you, but I've prayed with vain repetition before, right? I sound like a kid who wants something for Christmas sometimes. I'm like, "Dear Lord, please help me with this problem with my foot that's hurting me. And God, I pray that you help Shannon. And please, Lord, help me with this foot problem that I'm dealing with. And that this foot problem, Lord, that I'm dealing with. I just need some help there, you know?" And what happens is most of the time you pray in vain repetition, it's because your mind is closed. You're not even thinking when you pray. You're just going through the motions. And a lot of times, you'll see that people do that. They're not here to spend time with their Father in heaven. What they're trying to do is they're just trying to pray to get it done. It's just something you got to do to get the day on with. Like praying before you eat. How many people really pray seriously before they eat? There's a lot of people that do, and there's some that don't. People that'll say this, "Dear Lord in heaven, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name we pray, amen." You don't care nothing about thanking God for the food. All you want to do is eat. And make it look like you're a Christian. You see, anytime you pray, this is a time you're supposed to be spending with God. This is a separate time you're setting aside to be with God. Don't waste that time with vain repetition. And so if you don't want to babble, if you don't want to keep going on and on, then what you have to do is open your mind and think. And it's a very hard thing to do. One of the hardest factors in prayer is clearing your mind. Because I'll tell you, as soon as you get down on your knees and you start praying, all those honey-do lists are going to come to your mind. All the things you need to get done during the week are going to come to your mind. It seems like you're never going to be able to pray about what you want to pray about because things just start entering your mind. Satan wants to stop you from praying. Why? Because he knows it's the most powerful channel you have to your Lord and Savior. That's our big problem. We have all this distraction. I think our intention is good. We want to pray. But Satan gets in there and starts causing trouble. To be a good prayer person, it takes practice. It's not easy. How many people have fallen asleep while they've prayed before? Oh yeah, I fall asleep all the time praying. I used to feel guilty. But I didn't feel guilty when I fell asleep when Shannon and I were dating and we'd be on the phone. So why would I feel guilty falling asleep with the Lord? This is the greatest person you can talk to before you go to sleep. Amen? And so here, the scripture is telling us that if we want to really be able to come to the Lord, what we need to do is not worry about vain repetition, but there is nothing wrong with praying often. 1 Thessalonians 5, what does it say? It says, "Pray without ceasing." And what that means is all throughout the day as you're going through life, think about God, share messages with him, talk to him like a friend. That's what it's talking about. Now, it's pretty interesting to know that the person who created you, who created the whole universe, wants to talk to you. And it's interesting to know that you can talk to him, but Satan throws all these roadblocks in there. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of important stuff I have to say, I think. And sometimes my parents don't want to listen to me, my spouse doesn't want to listen to me, and my kids don't want to listen to me. I'm thankful that the Lord always wants to listen to me, amen? I mean, that's an important thing to think about. So we know God gives us a couple answers to prayer, right? What are the answers that God gives us for prayer, George? Yes is one of them. Yep, what's another one, Dave? It's another answer God gives us to prayer. Says yes. Evan?
Yeah, wait.
Wait, yeah. Yes, no, and wait. Right? So which one is the worst?
Wait.
Why? Because we can be told no. We're adults. We understand the word no. Our parents have been slapping our hands and telling us not to touch stuff since we were born. Right? But wait, that's a hard thing. We live in a society where you can make toast in 5 seconds, chicken noodle soup in 45 seconds. If you see something you want, you go to the store, you pay money, and you bring it home. Wait is something we don't understand. For instance, has anybody ever owned a diesel vehicle? You have to turn the key on, and you have to wait till this little glow plug light shuts off before you can turn it over to the rest of the way. You know how people hurt most diesel vehicles? Is they put the key in and try to start it up like a gas engine. Because why? We don't want to wait. My son, we have this 74 Camaro we're working on. It's a carburetor. Has anybody ever had a carburetor vehicle? Yeah, what do you have to do before you start a carburetor vehicle? Right? And then can you just put it in gear and take off? That puppy's got to warm up for a couple minutes, right? No. So Josh goes to school. He starts it up. It won't start. He pumps it some more, starts up, starts right up. And then he gives it a little gas to take off, and the carburetor hesitates. So what does my son do? What any good man would do. Floor it. So he steps on it. The carburetor hesitates. Whoop. Leaves this big, long burnout mark at Eureka High School. All because he wasn't patient. And he paid for it that next Monday. But you see, we don't want to wait. But that's one of the answers God gives us sometimes. Now, what about this? Waiting is bad. But have you ever prayed before and you felt like God just isn't answering your prayer? It's not really a wait. It's not a yes. It's not a no. It's just a nothing. Have you ever felt like that? It's like, God, why are you not answering my prayer? Maybe you're going through that right now. Like, why are you not answering my prayer? Well, I'm going to tell you some reasons why God doesn't answer your prayers. Are you ready to listen? These are important things to think about. Maybe the first reason God doesn't answer your prayers is because you don't really believe God can answer it. You're bringing it to him. You're asking him about it. But in your heart, you don't believe God can answer it. Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. But James writes, in James 1:6-8, he says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believing is one of the most important conditions for prayer. You got to believe in what you're praying. You got to trust the Lord. But there's other reasons your prayers aren't answered too. The second reason, you ask with the wrong motives. You ask because whatever God is going to bless you with, you're just going to use it for your glory. It's not going to help his kingdom. It's not going to help your family. It's not going to help anybody else. All it is selfish. Listen to this. James 4:3. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own selfish pleasures. Here's a third reason why God won't answer your prayers. Unconfessed sin separates us from God, so he can't hear you. Isaiah 59:1-2, George read it, says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear is too dull to hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. A fourth reason God won't answer your prayers, because you set up idols before him. You want God to be your number one in your life, you say, but you never put him there. You put other idols there. And so the scripture says in Ezekiel 14:3, it says, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Why should I let them inquire of me at all? Fifth, think about this. Maybe your prayers aren't answered because you don't answer those who cry to you for help. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:13, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Whoever knew prayer was so complex, right? You think it'd be simple. You just get down and pray and bam, God's like a magic genie. He gives you whatever you want. But there's a lot more to prayer than that. Another reason God doesn't answer prayer is because we don't remain in God or God's word. And God's word doesn't remain in us. The scripture says in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you if you remain in me and my word remains in you. The second thing that most Christians don't do is read their Bibles. We can carry them. We can set them on a coffee table. But reading them is a whole other deal. Folks, I'll tell you, for most households, if it comes down between reading your Bible and watching House Hunters, you're going to watch House Hunters every time. That's a sad society we live in. I'll tell you, for teenagers, if it comes between reading your Bible and playing some Pokemon games, you're going to play those Pokemon games first. You teenagers, listen back there. You see, we don't value the greatest treasure that we have on earth, which is God's Word. Another reason God doesn't answer our prayers, this is the last reason I want to share, is because we don't belong to God. Remember that illustration I shared with you last week about that atheist guy? He was going for a walk in the forest and he saw that bear. Remember that story? He's walking around, the atheist guy's walking around and he goes and he's like, oh, I'm so appreciative of how nature has created this tree and this oak tree and this forest and this water and all this stuff. And then this bear comes running up on top of him and goes to attack him and he says, oh my God! And time stops and the guy looks up. God's shining face or cloud of light comes upon the man. And the guy says, and God looks at him and says, you called? And he says, well, you haven't believed in me all these times, and now all of a sudden you want to believe in me? And the atheist guy says, well, time stopped. He said, no, that would make me a hypocrite. I just want you to turn the bear into a Christian. And God says, okay. So the bear, he takes his claw like this, and he comes down and he says, dear Lord in heaven, bless this meal. Before I eat it. Amen. And then he eats the guy, right? So the deal is that you got to be one of God's people to be able to ask God for stuff, right? If you're not my parent, I'm probably not going to give you anything. Well, I probably will anyway. But for most people, that's true, right? So you have to know the person to be able to get something from them. John 8:47 says, it says, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you don't belong to God. And so if you feel like you're not receiving an answer to your prayer today, I want to encourage you, examine your prayer life and see if you believe that God can answer them. That's a big one. Believe that God can answer them. See if you're asking with the right motives. Look in your life. See if there's any unconfessed sin that you might have that's separating you from God. Also, make sure you're not putting anything else in first place. Make sure you don't have any other idols before God. Look in your life and see, are there people that have asked you for help, but you continuously turn them away? If you're turning them away who are crying to you for help, why would God help you when you cry to Him for help? And make sure you remain in a close relationship with the Lord. So now we know, there's some reasons God doesn't answer our prayers. It's not because God doesn't want to answer them. It's because we're not doing the right things. So how does God want us to pray? Well, He tells us a prayer that every one of us know. In Matthew 6:9-13, we call it the Lord's Prayer, right? And that's the prayer that Jesus was teaching the disciples about how to pray. Now I'm going to read it to you again, but as I read this model to you, I want you to think about these things. Jesus gives us a pattern in this prayer. See if you can pick it out. Jesus gives us a pattern in this prayer of how we're supposed to pray. First, we should praise God. Second, we pray for His work in the world. Third, we pray for our daily needs. Fourth, we ask Him for forgiveness. And fifth, we praise Him for all the things that He has done and will do. Keep those things in mind as you hear this again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, Jesus, what He's doing here is not saying you have to say this prayer every day. He's saying this is an example of the pattern that you need to pray in. And so first, we look at the first verse. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. What does that mean? What it means is we need to remember that God is God. He is majestic. He is holy. He is perfect. There is no other like Him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of all life as we know it. And so in the first line of that prayer, what it means is when we pray, we need to honor God for who that He is. And remember not to use God's name in vain. But to use God's name respectfully. If you've seen a movie lately, if you've played any kind of war-type video game, you've probably heard the Lord's name used in vain. That's a terrible thing. By the power of Jesus, people are healed. And by the power of Jesus, people die every day. We need to remember to honor God's name like that first verse shares with us. The second verse, verse 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, that's a reference to God's reign coming back. That someday, God's kingdom will come. That covenant with Abraham, we should remember that. That God's kingdom will eventually come and God's will be done. You're praying, you want God's will to be done in your life. But you know, most of the time, I don't want God's will done in my life, if I'm honest. I want Alan's will done in my life. I'm not praying for what God wants to do. I want him to do what I want to do. And I even tell him how to do it. I don't know if you're like that. But I'll tell God, I have this problem, and here's three options to solve it. Amen. And then you know what I'm doing, Ron? I'm not waiting for God to solve it in his own will. I don't care about that. I'm like, okay, well, option one didn't happen. Okay, Lord, that's okay. You got two more options. Option two didn't happen. What's the deal here, Lord? Option three's not happening either. And then maybe a week, a month, a day later, some other option I never even thought of happens. The deal is we want God's will to be done, not our will. Who are we to tell the Lord how to solve our problems? Don't you think God is a little smarter than we are? I sure hope so. So in verse 10, the second thing we're asking is for God's will to be done. Then in verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So what are you asking for? You're acknowledging that God is the sustainer and the provider. I don't care if you make $200,000 a year or $10 a year. The reason you can do that is because God provided you with that job. God is sustaining your family. God is sustaining you. And so what this says when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," what we're saying is, God, we trust you as the sustainer. We trust you as the provider. And God, please give us what we need to live this day. Now, back in the day, you were only paid your wages for that day. Here, how does it work? You get paid once a month or once a week or twice a month or whatever. But you get paid after you've done all the work, and so you have enough money to go the next week or the next 2 weeks. Here, they only got paid one day. And so you'd get what you needed for this day, but for tomorrow, you'd have to work or trust God to be able to get through that next day. And so that's what it's talking about. Verse 12 says, "Forgive us our debt or our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers." This is a hard one. Because we're saying, God, we want you to forgive us the way we forgive everybody else. What do you think? Do you want God to forgive people the way you forgive them, Larry? Yeah, exactly. You know, I think about these things and I think about, man, I didn't forgive this person, I didn't forgive that person, but yet I'm like, God, help me with this problem. God, forgive me of this problem. And you know what it says? It says, you're praying, God, forgive me for the way I forgive others. Man, how about we change that verse in the Bible? God, forgive me the way I want to be forgiven. But we can't do that, right? And then if you skip down to verse 14, this is the real painful one. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Hey, that sounds good. I don't like verse 15, though. Verse 15 says, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Important thing to think about. You say the Lord's Prayer maybe all the time, but have you really thought about what you're praying? In verse 13, it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever." Lead us not into temptation. God doesn't lead us into temptation. He works to deliver us from temptation. But our bodies lead themselves to temptation, don't they? We see lust of the flesh, things we want, and we go after them. And so what we're asking here is for God to help deliver us from those temptations. God promises that he'll never allow us to be tempted beyond what our endurance is. And the last part of the verse says, "For thine kingdom, and for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." And you think about, you want to give God praise and glory for everything he's done in the past, for everything he will do in the future. Folks, the Lord's Prayer is not something that we skip over or take lightly. He's providing a model for us to be able to talk to him. So one more thought and I close. Prayer is a wonderful communication tool. And if we would use it right, we could be connected to God like you never imagined. But the problem is we have to use this tool correctly. You see, we tend to go to somebody else when we have a problem. But what the scripture is telling us here is before we go to anybody else, we need to go to the Lord. Before you go to your pastor, before you go to your spouse or your parents or your friends, you need to sit at the Lord's feet and talk to Him. He's the one that can help you. Your mom and dad, your husband or wife, your pastor, we can't help you. The Lord is the one that can help you. We should seek God first above everybody else. And I don't know about you, but wrapping up this Thanksgiving week, I sure am thankful that God provided a way for us to talk to Him, you know? Can you think about what life would be like for a minute if you didn't have the ability to pray? What would life be like if you didn't have this Bible? You may not want to read it now. It may just sit on your coffee table or whatever now. But what if you didn't have it? It would become the greatest treasure in the world. You know, I know a lot about the Gideons. And I'll tell you, they go out handing out these little Bibles. And there are people that will step on, trample, run over somebody to get a piece of God's Word. But here in America, we have so many Bibles, they just sit like that on our shelf. Unless you know the pastor's coming over, then you're like, get this crease going here. Anybody got a pen? Dear, where is the pen? I got to underline something so it looks like I'm studying, for crying out loud. The pastor is coming over. Other than that, it just sits there. Right? We got two great tools, the Bible and prayer. Why don't we use them this year? Close your eyes for a moment. Many of you already are. But the rest of you, close your eyes for a moment. Think about this. Think about your prayer life. How does it line up to that model prayer Jesus has given us? Have you thanked God lately and praised Him for all the things He's done in your life? For the things He's done in your family's life and all the things He's done in this church? When's the last time you repented and confessed your sins to the Lord? Has it been an hour, a day, a week, a year? When's the last time that you just said, God, I'm sorry, help me. Lord, I need to get back on the right track. Maybe you're on a good track, but you're not living a perfect life and you need some help. Is it time for you to confess to Him right now? When I shared that word, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, does that word forgive give you a terrible feeling and put butterflies in your stomach? Or is it full of promise because you really have forgiven all those that have hurt you? Do you faithfully pray for the needs of your family, Christians in the community, your enemies every day? When's the last time you thank God for listening to you and sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins? You could open up your eyes. Prayer is serious, guys. It's serious. If you want to have the best relationship you can with the Lord, you got to spend time at His feet. There is no other way to do it. You don't have a problem spending time with the one you love. Maybe they're a little more demanding. But if you're not spending time with God, you're missing out on everything God wants to bless you with. So as we get ready to bow our heads and close in prayer, I want you to think. The two greatest things God gave us, besides the Son, were the Bible and prayer. How much are you using those tools? How much are you using them? God knows. Doesn't matter to me. You don't have to prove anything to me. This is just you and the Lord. Are you using those? Is your relationship growing closer to Him? If not, it's time to get back on track. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer.